Rowdy, how we doing? Fourth and final hour, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Christian Gonzalez, former Buffalo at Colorado and also Duck at Oregon, is going to be stopping by 15 minutes from now. Looking forward to that conversation. Fun show so far. Jackson Smith and Jigba joined us earlier. Quentin Johnston as well, in addition to Jordan Addison. Tomorrow, you will get a 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern edition of the Zach Gelb Show live from Kansas City. We're at right now. We'll be at the draft. So come see us out in person. Hickey, where's our location again? It's the World War One Memorial, I believe.
I thought it was two. You may be right on one. Okay. I'm not 100% sure, but we should be just behind, I believe, the stage and off to the right. But I'm not 100% sure on that.
Gotcha. That's good to know. We got the draft show tomorrow, and the producer doesn't even know where the heck we are going. That's all right. Did we get in contact with the engineers here to make sure that we kind of know where we're going? Send this little picture setup of where they are right now?
And also helps Maggie Perloff will be making the voyage for us.
Oh, good company.
They'll find out. And then when they're there, we'll find the easier way to go that way. So we'll thank them for their service.
So follow me on Twitter and Instagram if you want to say hello, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, and we'll get you that information out there tomorrow. I'll be doing the show 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern, and then I'll be sticking around 8 until the end of the first round, as it will be yours truly, along with JR and Andrew Perloff, anchoring all your first round coverage. Then on Friday, you come see us again, as it'll be just me and JR from 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Now, you will have Maggie Gray and Andrew Perloff, who will be, of course, broadcasting 3 to 6 as well, p.m. Eastern. So it's going to be fun. Take the notes right there and kind of give them to you as we get set for another great edition of the draft show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, Connor Green, can I get some music, please, who's back in our East Coast New York City studios? It is time for our final top 10 mock draft. We had the 10 experts that joined us earlier in the week from each of the teams in the top 10. We had Chris Trapasso go up against me last week. Now, Hickey, you will take the odds. I will take the evens. We start off with the Carolina Panthers.
First of all, I like how you say the best for last when it comes to analysts. Thank you. I'm honored. With the first overall pick.
Well, let me just be clear. We asked for about 15 other people to try to do this segment. And
you
then
know what?
Hickey said, okay.
Still asked. I'll take it. I will take it. This is what I feel good and bad about. Good in the sense that I was right about something, being all in on Bryce Young, him being the best quarterback in this
That's
draft.
That's how low the standard is. I was right on something, even though you were dead wrong in terms of the Colts are going to go get Bryce Young with the number one overall pick. But you'll talk your way into saying that you were right just because Bryce Young is going number one overall, but it's not to your team. As I told you, it was more unlikely than likely that the Colts would get Bryce Young just because of all the other potential teams that can move into the number one spot.
And thus, the negative part of the prediction, which, yes,
I'm
it hurts.
I'm going to pat myself on the back.
That Frank Reich,
good job,
my
Zach.
Former head coach, has taken Bryce Young. But he will make the right decision. The Panthers tomorrow with the first overall pick will take Bryce Young.
All righty. Bryce Young off the board. No surprise there. This is what I think is super duper tricky. Because the Houston Texans now have a minority of people saying that it's going to be C.J. Stroud. A very minuscule amount of people saying C.J. Stroud. If you would have asked me a few weeks ago, oh, if Bryce Young's going one, C.J. Stroud easily number two. And there was a lot of people initially who thought when the Panthers traded up, as even reported by Joe Person, the initial thought was it was going to be for C.J. Stroud. What I think really happened here, why Bryce Young's going one, not only do I think he's the best quarterback in this draft class, I do think there was a disagreement in that Panthers organization. And we know David Tepper really preferred Bryce Young. We know Frank Reich, not that he didn't like C.J. Stroud, because it's almost impossible to dislike him, but Frank Reich really wanted C.J. Stroud. So I think the owner won out here. And also you wonder who Scott Fitterer's preference was. But would you agree with this, that if it was up to Frank Reich, C.J. Stroud would be the number one overall pick?
I would agree with that. I think the body type fits out.
Yeah, and I think David Tepper got what he wanted here. And that's what usually happens when you have all those billions. But now there's so much smoke here that C.J. Stroud's not going to be the number two overall pick. Hickey, let me ask you this. And I'll tell you right now, I think he should be the number two overall pick, C.J. Stroud. I don't think he will be. Do you think C.J. Stroud should be the number two overall pick, and do you think he will be the number two overall pick? Let me just ask you that.
Should, will, I will say absolutely not. He will not be pick number two.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I am going to say no, as well.
Okay. Why is that?
I have got to this point where if you're going to take a quarterback, at this point, I think you should be taking a quarterback that has a chance to be a top five quarterback in the NFL. And so if you're looking at this class and Bryce Young's off the board, I think Anthony Richardson is that guy out of the three left that has a chance to get to the top five. Now, it's minuscule. It's more likely to fail than not. But I'd rather take a chance, if I'm a team like the Texans, on getting a guy that if he hits, could be like Josh Allen and could take the Bills to a spot like he has taken Buffalo as a contender every year, compared to a guy like C.J. Stroud, where he's definitely going to play week number one. He's more ready, and I think he's a safer pick. But if he's more of a Jared Goff type or a Dak Prescott type, do you like? I want more personally for my top five quarterback than just Dak Prescott or Jared Goff right now.
So then, when do the Texans take a quarterback?
I don't think they're going to take one.
You don't think they take one in the first round at all?
No.
So then they're hoping that they're going to be one or two next year to get either Caleb Williams or Drake May. I know they have a lot of draft capital, but if a team needs a quarterback next year, everyone tells you Williams and May will be 1-2, and then it's going to be tough to trade into that spot, even with that capital. Here's the thing, though, and I'll make my pick in a selection. I'll make my selection in just a second. Well, I really am missing the sleep that I was deprived of last night. Is Bryce Young even going to be someone that's going to be a top five quarterback in football?
I think so, yes. I'm all in. I think he's going to be Joe Burrow 2.0.
Oh, that's a big statement. And I like Bryce Young a lot. But let me just, for the future, the next 10 years. So take out like Aaron Rodgers out of the conversation. Take out Russell Wilson. Mahomes, Burrow, Josh Allen, Herbert, Hurts. Bryce Young being better than any of those five guys? Just for starters?
I think he could be better than Allen, Herbert. We'll see what Hurts' health is like. You know, if he could stay healthy, because he's a very very tough dual threat quarterback. But I think definitely those two to start, and I could see him being better than Hurts too, yeah.
Yeah, I got a tough time. Tough time thinking that, even though as much as I like Bryce Young, that he's going to be better than what we've seen so far from Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and also Justin Herbert. You won't touch Mahomes or Burrow. You already just rolled off those three names and knocked them out of the park. You won't even contemplate Mahomes or Burrow.
In terms of Bryce Young, no, because I think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback, and I think Burrow physically is a little bit bigger.
Didn't you just say he could be like Joe Burrow?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What is the best trait Joe Burrow has? What does he do that no other quarterback can do?
I love his mind. That's
my exact point. It's
he makes the right throw.
It's decision making. It's ability to read defense instantaneously, make a decision.
He reminds me a lot like Brady.
Exactly, Bryce Young's best trait. He's not gonna. He doesn't have the biggest arm. He's obviously not the biggest person. He's not fast. But what he does is he makes decisions in a snap. You know, so fast he outthinks and is always one step ahead of the defense every single time. Joe Burrow's not the biggest quarterback. He doesn't have the best arm in the NFL. He's not the fastest guy. He's not elusive. He stays mostly in the pocket. He's not a dual threat. But he wins games because he outmaneuvers the defense every single time first. That's why I think Bryce Young and the Joe Burrow comp to me go hand in hand.
You know what the toughest part, though, is for Bryce Young in his career?
What is that?
Oh, it's obvious. He has to navigate your support. Because I've never seen you more convinced about someone.
Bryce, and Bryce we trust. Although I can't be rooting for him.
The Colts didn't pay the price to go get Bryce.
I like Bryce Young a lot. So it's like I want to root for him to succeed. But in a way, like, I can't because he's not on my team. So it's very frustrating.
The Texans have been so bizarre through this process. Kind of feel like when Belichick makes a selection, it's the same way with Kasari. You never know what they're going to do. If it's not C.J. Stroud, it should be Will Anderson. But I think, just like last year where Trayvon Walker went one, I was like, huh? I really do think Tyree Wilson is going to be the pick here. That's my pick here at two. Not who I think should go, but who I think will go.
At three, then, I don't think the Cardinals trade out. I don't think there's enough interest, personally. I don't think the Titans are jumping from 11 to 3. I don't think the Raiders are jumping from 7 to 3.
Seahawks or Lions?
I think they're going to wait.
Okay.
With the Texans now not taking a quarterback at 2, and I don't think many trade partners happening there at 3. I think the Cardinals, who want to trade out, will not have the right partners to trade out. So I think they will stay, and they will take Will Anderson Jr., give Jonathan Gannon a defensive piece to work with. That defense is horrendous, especially the pass rush. They need help anywhere and everywhere. They start with Will Anderson Jr.
Okay. I want your mic to be on for this.
Here we go.
And I want your reaction.
Here we go.
I absolutely think the pick here should be CJ Stroud. But there has been so much attachment and so many links to the Colts and Will Levis. And I said earlier, CJ Stroud should absolutely be the second quarterback taken in this draft. But I think it's going to end up being Will Levis. So let's just pretend I'm the commissioner. With the 4th pick in the 2023 NFL draft.
Whoa, that's too much personality.
Oh, sorry. I also said he's my favorite commissioner these days. So I used to like just make him sound horrible. Now I have to actually support him. With the 4th pick in the 2023 NFL draft, hot take kickies, Indianapolis Colts select Will Levis.
Oh my.
Quarterback, Kentucky.
God. The one word I will, cause I can't, that's probably what it's going to be. Some sort of, you got to be kidding me. The one word I'd probably describe that pick with Stroud and Richardson on the board, yuck.
I'm going to be filming you, by the way.
Yuck.
When that pick is on the board.
I mean, I'm working. I'm not going to freak out.
When the pick
out.
Is in, you're going to have a reaction.
I'm not going to take my headset off and run around like a crazy man.
Why not?
I mean, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. Well, I actually hope not, because that means that the biggest reaction probably would be Levis in that situation.
I want you to be you. I want in like 15
okay.
years from
so
now.
We'll see what happens.
I want 15 years from now you to be the guy that they show when Will Levis turns out to actually be good, even though I don't think he'll be good.
I'll be a wild card then. I don't know what to expect. I don't, it could be the Rose Bowl hickey that shows up, could be business hickey that shows up, Howard Stern. I don't know, but you'll get someone tomorrow.
Stop the Howard Stern. Not even like 1/10 of what Howard Stern is.
To me, makes it funny. That is for sure.
Okay,
all right.
Let's go. We got to go through this because Christian Gonzalez got to join us coming up in about 5 minutes.
At 4, that means the Seahawks at 5 will not take Jalen Carter.
Ooh.
But Anthony Richardson, they got the project, they got the quarterback. I think they make a splash move here, and Pete Carroll goes for the shiny object.
So no C.J. Stroud.
No C.J. Stroud. You got Geno Smith. He's going to play. So you don't need a quarterback that's pro-ready. I think then you go take a big swing on a guy that's sitting there dangling in Richardson that could be a home run.
If this is the way that this plays out, it would almost be malpractice if the Lions did not take C.J. Stroud here, but I do agree with your point. You got a guy that you just paid in Geno Smith. For the Lions, you have a guy in Jared Goff who still has some years left on that contract, and Jared Goff deserves to be the starter this year. I think this is like, even though there was no character issues with Penei Sewell, but a situation where a few years ago, you just fall into the lap and take the best player available. That's what I think the Lions do here. You get already Aiden Hutchinson on that defense, and now you add Jalen Carter.
Not bad. Not bad at all, which means
now here's the one
seven.
Thing, though.
Uh-oh.
Just make sure he's not gambling. Wow. There's a lot of concerns.
That's
in that organization,
point.
Gambling
good
may
point.
Be gambling the biggest concern right now.
Holy cow. Let everybody know you can't gamble. All right. The Raiders at 7 will have their pick at corner. I think they're going defense, even with Stroud still on the board.
Wow.
So that means Witherspoon, Christian Gonzalez. I will go for the man who's coming on in 5 minutes, Christian Gonzalez out of Oregon, first corner off the board to the Raiders at 7.
A lot of CGs today.
CG?
Connor Green here, and then also Christian Gonzalez. Okay, the way that this plays out, with the 8th pick of the draft, the Atlanta Falcons probably not expecting to take a quarterback, but they know what CJ Stroud did up against Georgia. I don't care about Desmond Ridder and what they may think he could be. If Stroud's there at 8, and I don't think he'll fall, but I don't think he's going to fall that far. I think the Falcons would take C.J. Stroud.
I think that means you'll get 2 Ohio State core players, teammates going back-to-back. Bears at 9 need offensive help in the worst
Ooh.
Way. They have to protect Justin Fields, who was running for his life last year. Paris Johnson Jr., go with the unsexy pick and go get some protection for your franchise quarterback.
I thought you were going Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and I'm like, did Hickey forget that they just traded for DJ Moore?
That would have been fun, and you just
and
load
Chase
up.
And Chase Claypool? even though he's not great. But he's
forgettable trade.
But Chase Claypool is a solid wide receiver.
Really quick, would you rather have Chase Claypool or the 32nd overall pick?
In this draft?
Yes.
Chase Claypool.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't think this draft is as great as what people think. I don't think Chase Claypool's a stud, but when you have a young quarterback, I know that Chase Claypool could at least be a number two wide receiver. I think that's important. And then the 10th pick. Let me ask you this. Is there anyone egregious right now that we didn't pick?
No. I would say no.
No wide receivers yet?
Egregious, no.
There is an offensive lineman. Defensively, Carter did go off the board. Tyree Wilson off the board. Will Anderson off the board. It's the obvious pick here. Now, they could go corner. They don't need to. Maybe it's Witherspoon. They could go, I see a lot of people saying, Lucas Van Ness. No. Bijan Robinson. You don't have a lot of holes. Go take someone that can you go win a Super Bowl with in the next year, two, or three. Give me Bijan Robinson. So here's the results. Hickey had the odds. I had the evens. This is not what we think should happen. It's what we think will happen with the way that this plays out. I can't control Hickey. Bryce Young, Panthers, 1. That was a Hickey pick. Tyree Wilson, 2 to the Texans. That's a me pick. 3, Cardinals, Will Anderson. 4, Colts, Will Levis. 5, Anthony Richardson to the Seahawks. 6, Jalen Carter to the Detroit Lions. 7, CG, Connor Green, congratulations, I mean Christian Gonzalez. 8, CJ Stroud to the Falcons. 9, the Bears, Paris Johnson Jr. And 10, the Eagles take Bijan Robinson. Zach Gelb Show right here, CBS Sports Radio. We will take a 5-minute timeout, and when we come on back, we will be joined by Oregon cornerback. Could be a top 10 pick. It's either him or Witherspoon. First cornerback off the board, Christian Gonzalez. Quack, quack, quack. Will join us next. Back here in Kansas City, Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio, getting ready for the big night tomorrow night, the NFL draft. And now joining us could be the first corner off the board from the Oregon Ducks. And he's here in the P&G style lounge on behalf of Head and Shoulders. And that, of course, is Christian Gonzalez. Christian, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? I'm excited.
Yeah, right? I know there's so many rumors, and you can't keep track of everything, but I'm sure there's some things you hear and then some things you don't. 24 hours away, just how are you processing this and what's going through your mind?
I'm just trying to enjoy it, soak every moment in. You know, I'm never going to get this back. So really just enjoying it with my family because it's been big for them and big for me. So being able to come here together has been fun.
Throughout this journey, a lot of kids, they grow up and they go, I want to be a professional athlete. When did you realize that that could actually be a realistic goal?
Probably when I got my first offer and then going in and after my freshman year, once I started my freshman year and was playing, making plays, I was like, okay, it's real. I can really do it.
You started your career at Colorado in college and you wrapped up at Oregon. Take me through that decision-making process, moving on from Colorado and continuing your college journey with the Ducks.
Yeah, it was committed to Colorado out of high school. Wanted to play with Mel Tucker, but he left before I got there. But by that time, I was over the recruiting process. And the coach, Demetrius Martin, who was my position coach all 3 years, I already had a relationship with him. He was at Colorado, so I stayed with him. Played 2 years there, had great time, great university. Extremely glad I went there. And then he ended up going to Oregon. So, you know, he told me he would get me in and out in 3 years, and that's what I wanted to play with. And we had just have a great relationship. He's coming up here tomorrow. He gets here tomorrow morning. But yeah, it was just wanted to go follow him, play with him for my last year, and it worked out great.
When you get told something, like, okay, you're going to go to this place for 3 years, you'll get to leave early, you get to go to the NFL, and you'll be able to accomplish what you set out to do. Now knowing that's what happened, how do you kind of look back on that journey, and what did that journey teach you?
It's taught me a lot. Just stay down, stay true to yourself, and just trusting in God, because he's going to get you where you need to be.
It's so difficult when you look at people that transfer and then you have coaches that come on in and new coaches as well. And with Dan Lanning, no one really knew what to expect this past year at Oregon. What did you really learn from Dan Lanning, and what is he like as a football coach? Because people were impressed with what the Ducks did this year.
Oh yeah, I love Coach Lanning. Yeah, he brought us all in, him being a new coach, me being a transfer in. There were a lot of new players too as well, and he made everything really about connection. As soon as we got there, we connected every day. Like, we had Get Reels. The whole team would come together, and we would talk about everything but football. Just relating to each other, learning everybody's why, because once you know that, you know, it's just easier to play for your brother next to you. And, you know, he taught me so much about football. Great coach. Defensive guy. So I love playing under a defensive head coach. And he was just a great person and relatable. Young, brings the energy, so it was great playing with him.
When you transfer from one Pac-12 school to another, there's so much crossover. You went up against your old school this year, had a good game, had the interception. What were those emotions like going up against guys that you knew in that locker room at Colorado when you had a different uniform on?
It was crazy. That was a crazy day. Going in, driving in. When we flew there, it was kind of like, because we stayed in Denver, we actually didn't stay in Boulder. But once we were driving to the game the next day, it was crazy just because we took the same exact route we took when I went to Colorado. But, you know, now I was on the visiting team. I was on the visitor sideline. I treated it like a normal game. But it was really fun to get out there. It's always fun to compete. And then to compete against your friends is even more fun. So glad I got to do that. Saw them, everybody after the game, took pictures, laughed, talked. But it was a real fun moment.
When you look on the field, what was your favorite memory, whether it was at Colorado or Oregon, when you look back at your career, Christian Gonzalez?
I would say this year, when we beat Oregon, or not when we beat Oregon, we would beat Utah at Oregon in Autzen, because I was 0-2 against Utah. And then Oregon lost to them twice the year before, so it was, they're kind of turned into a big rivalry, and everybody was just ready to get to that game and win. And that was also a game Bo was hurt. We didn't really know if he was playing or not, and he came out, and the stadium just went crazy, just that he came out and fought through that game. And you know, offense played a great game, defense played a great game, and we ended up beating them. And my whole family was there. My aunt was there as well. So just seeing them and meeting with them after the game and getting that over with, not over with, but getting them, being able to beat them in front of a sold-out crowd was real fun.
There's so many ups and downs when you choose to be an athlete, and there's some good times and there's some bad times. Bo Nix, he was a rock star early on at Auburn, and then his stock kind of fell. And going into this year, he exceeded all my expectations and a lot of people's expectations. What did Bo Nix show you this past year being a teammate of his?
Oh, he's first of all, a great teammate, a great person, great leader, but also just how competitive he is. Just pushing everybody and leading the team. Everybody bought into just listening to him. And we knew he was a great player. And I was super excited for him to be able to come out and show what he does, because I believe he's always been a great player. Now he just had the weapons to show what he does. And I'm excited to watch him this year, see what he does and how it plays out. And it was just great playing with him, one of my best friends at Oregon, so I'm real happy for him.
Christian Gonzalez, you're projected to be a top 10 pick in this draft tomorrow night. I'm a GM, let's just say. I say, why should I select Christian Gonzalez? What's the answer?
I'm a versatile corner, especially at my size, being able to not play nickel, to play the whole defense in a whole different position, and then just add that with my size, speed, length. Feel like that's what separates me, is there's not a lot of corners my size and length that can move in the inside and guard the inside and play the slot cornerback.
How do you process it when you hear these mock drafts and people go, the first corner in the draft may be Christian Gonzalez?
it's crazy. But, you know, I try not to pay attention to it as much, but obviously you're going to hear it. But, you know, just kind of just keeping my head down. I just kept my head down. You know, the buzz started to pick up at Oregon about like week two, week three. So, you know, I just had to keep my head down, keep working, because, you know, it's kind of out of my control. So just keeping my head down, working, grinding, and see what happens tomorrow.
When you first went to Colorado, if I would have told you, you would have been a top 10 pick and potentially the first corner off the board, what would you have said to me a few years ago?
Man, I'd say I believe you. That's just been my goal my whole life. I always worked for it. But I always was just crazy, surreal, that happens.
Is there a player or two that you look at in the NFL right now that go, I can't wait to just battle up against receiver X, receiver Y, receiver Z, whoever it may be?
It's really all the receivers, the whole NFL. I love to compete, and now I'm going to compete with the best of the best on the biggest stage. You know, all the vets, all the rookies, just excited to get in and go against all the great receivers. You know, just going against them, other receivers, great receivers, is going to teach me more about my game, so I'm excited for it.
It's kind of crazy. Last few years, we've seen Patrick Surtain Jr. come into the league, take the league by storm. Last year, Sauce Gardner was one of the better defensive players in the NFL and won Defensive Rookie of the Year. What do you think your impact can be right away? Can you have a similar impact like those two guys had?
I believe I can, and that's what I'm hoping to do. Just come in and, you know, they kind of paved the way the past 2 years. They came in and, like you said, took the league by storm. And that's kind of, you know, I modeled my game after Pat Surtain, and that's kind of just what I want to do and come in and leave my legacy.
Who were some of your favorite players growing up?
I actually grew up playing offense. So I really didn't play corner until my junior year of high school. So growing up, I was just watching all types of receivers, offensive highlights. It was kind of, you know, Odell, those type of receivers. But, yeah.
You catch the ball, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we could potentially maybe see you both sides of the ball. Could that be in play at all? Like a few spot plays as a wide receiver, a little trick package?
I don't know. It's been a minute since I actually played receiver, for real, since high school. But, no, I don't think that would happen, though.
Since you started your career at Colorado, Christian Gonzalez, now all the talk about Colorado is prime time, the legendary Deion Sanders being their head football coach. I don't know how many friends you still have that are currently there. I know there's been a lot of transferring going on at Colorado. What's kind of your view of prime time taking the head football job, a coaching job at Colorado?
Yeah, I mean, he came in and gave them the energy that they needed, so that was good for them. They needed that. I was happy to see my friends, you know, be happy about getting in there, doing work. And yeah, there's been a lot of transfers. But I mean, you know, it's a great university. I hope he can bring them back and just start winning again.
Before we let you run, Christian Gonzalez, we'll talk about Head and Shoulders and the P&G Style Lounge in just a second. You look at Utah, you mentioned them. Dalton Kincaid is mocked to go in the first round. Some say he's the best tight end in this draft class. Just what's your view of Dalton Kincaid?
Oh, great, great player. You know, we game planned for him. It was a big, big part of our game plan. You know, he's just a dynamic athlete. Being that size, they gave him the ball every type of way. A jet sweep to him, put him, flex him out wide, leave him in the slot. You know, he's a great player, a great person too. I'm ready to see what he does in the league as well.
The talk right now, it's like a fight. It's Christian Gonzalez going up against Devin Witherspoon. Do you have a relationship with Devin at all?
I do. Spoon is my guy. We have the same agent. We work out together. You know, we was just together like an hour ago on the phone. He came up to my room yesterday in the hotel, just chopping it up. But that's my guy, so, you know, there's never no bad blood. You know, we always want each other to succeed and do the best.
Do you have any idea? Because some guys have a sense where they're going, some guys don't. Right now, as we sit here about 24 hours away from the draft, do you have a feel of where you're going to go?
Honestly, no. Yeah, I mean, I talk to all teams, and then I get the questions of who you think likes you more. It's kind of just, felt the same at every team I've talked to. So we're going to see what happened tomorrow night.
Tell me what you're doing with Head & Shoulders and also here in the P&G Style Lounge.
Yeah, here at the P&G Style Lounge, you know, I just want to work with Head & Shoulders, wash my hair every day. And after practice, you know, I make sure to take advantage of every wash and keep it clean.
Now, you don't know where you're going, like you just said, but when that call happens tomorrow night and you'll be in the green room and it's like, okay, Christian Gonzalez is going here, what do you think is going to be going through your mind when you finally get that call you've been waiting for?
Probably a breath, a deep breath. All the visits, all the combine, pro day, all that past 3 months, you know, it's been crazy. Probably some emotions. Being there with my family, have some sunglasses on in case my allergies hit. But I'm excited, yeah.
You got to chest bump the commissioner? You got to give him a big hug? Just a handshake? What's that going to be like on the walk?
I don't know. I'm not the super outgoing type of guy, so my answer right now, what I'm telling you, is I'm going to shake his hand, but I don't know what's going to happen when I get up there. Probably just shake his hand.
I would go chest bump, honestly.
I'm not that type of guy. I'm not the outgoing type of guy, so I don't know.
Well, Christian Gonzalez, good luck. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
There you go. Good stuff with Christian Gonzalez. We'll see when he goes in the draft. It's either going to be him or Devin Witherspoon as the first corner off the board. Hickey, I feel like you're more professional, let's say, and you can get a little shy around a big crowd. But let's say you were a first-round draft pick, right, with the fourth pick, the Indianapolis Colts select punter, Ryan Hickey.
Punter?
Yeah.
First of all, actually, yeah, that made history. Highest punter ever drafted, so fine, we'll go with it.
What would you do when you walk it up stage and you're going for the traditional handshake? Do you do like a bear hug? Do you do a chest bump? How would your interaction go with the commissioner?
I think if I was in that situation, I would walk up there calm, wrap my arms around Roger Goodell and lift him up like a lot of offensive linemen do. I think it's better because I'm a smaller guy, so no one expects me to be lifting up Roger Goodell. That's, I think, what I would do.
I think I'd tackle him.
Well, I mean, you don't want to hurt the guy that...
He's not paying you.
Sure, but he works for the guy who is paying you.
I think... All right, so you're probably right. I think the emotions and the adrenaline, I would think I would tackle him. But I do like the... That was going to be my answer before you basically stole it. I would do the hug and then the lift up.
The lift up. There you go, Raj. Off the feet. I want those feet off the ground.
Marco Belletti. Marco would be a very interesting interaction with the commissioner because I feel like Marco's not a big hugger. What would you do, Marco?
I'm not a big hugger. I'd probably get the...
See, I have a good scouting report on that.
I think I'd get more of the bro handshake. He would probably come in. It would get awkward. I would pull back. He would go in. It'd be like an awkward, you know, bad date is basically what it would come down to.
Would you kiss him on the cheek?
You know, and again, I feel like Roger would probably be a little bit handsy, and I would be pulling away. It would be awkward.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will come on back with the closing bell. We'll tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming. But first up, here is El Capitan, Marco Belletti.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Just some quick scores around the NBA. Knicks moving on to the second round. How about that? Knicks beat the Cavs in five games, 106-95 in the fifth and final game in Cleveland. Bucks and Heat underway, early stages of the first quarter. Heat up 3-1 in this series. This game in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks are up early 11-7. Grizzlies trying to get this series back to LA. It looks like they'll be okay in doing that, but it's not over yet. It is 106-92 in favor of the Grizzlies. There is 4:04 left in the fourth quarter. And with the way that some of these leads do go away, you never know. But Memphis does look A-OK. Bane has been great Once again, 33 points and 9 rebounds tonight. So looks like we will get a 6th game there. And in the world of hockey, you do have Panthers and Bruins tied up now at 3. Boston could advance tonight with a win. This game is at TD Garden. There is 1 minute remaining in the third period, and you will have Kraken and Avalanche coming up later tonight. And we will get to another NBA note coming up in just a second in the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
We're going to have Warriors and Kings tipping off momentarily. That game comes your way at 10 p.m. Eastern, so at the top of the hour. And De'Aaron Fox is going to give it a go with the broken finger. The series tied up at 2-2. Warriors did take, the Kings did take the first two. Then Warriors bounced back in games 3 and 4 after Steph tried to give the Kings the game in game 4. And we'll see who wins this game 5. We'll see how long De'Aaron Fox will go. But the fact that he's even on the court with the broken finger in his left shooting hand is a good sign. So give De'Aaron Fox a stock up. A weird ending for Ime Udoka with the Boston Celtics, but he has his new job. That is the next head coach of the Houston Rockets. You got a young team there. We'll see what else they do moving forward. But Ime Udoka's back. Give him a stock up. All right, let's go to the ice. Last night, he had 3 hockey games. The Islanders get this series back to Long Island. It's now 3-2. Carolina still leads. Islanders win in Carolina last night by a final score of 3-2. Let's hear Matt Barzal's score to make it 3-1. This call courtesy of the MSG Network.
Nature's turning over. Here's Barzal. Horvat's with him. Barzal with Horvat. Wade shoots. Scores! Matt Barzal restores the 2-goal lead.
Huge goal for the Islanders.
Give Matt Barzal a stock up. Pete DeBoer's Dallas Stars. Pete DeBoer, everywhere he goes, his first year is just remarkable. The Stars now take a 3-2 series lead over the Wild. They did blank the Wild last night 4-0. Let's hear Mason Marchment make it 3-0. This courtesy of Bally Sports.
Fire save made. Rebound score. Marchment. And Dallas extends their lead.
Give the Dallas Stars a stock up. The Oilers, 1 win away for moving on to round 2. What a great series this has been between the Oilers and Kings. Oilers get the victory last night, 6-3. Remember, Zach Hyman did get the overtime goal in the last game. He did have a goal last night. But let's hear Brett Kulak make it 3-1. This courtesy of Oilers Radio.
Here's Fogel to McLeod. Backdoor tap in. What a finish. Brett Kulak activating and bearing it from the left circle. 3-1. Edmonton on Kulak's first goal in his postseason career.
Give Brett Kulak a stock up. And also, Leon Draisaitl did get a goal in the game last night. He had 2 goals in game 1. He had a goal in game 2. No goals in game 3. 2 goals in game 4. And then last night did have a goal in game 5. Let's go to Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are donezo in 5 at the hands of the New York Knicks. Remember, a lot of people thought Mitchell was going to be a Knick, and now he's out in 5 games. Had 2 points in the second half. In game 4 and in game 5, I know he had 28 points and 7 rebounds, but you go home as a loser and you're going home in the first round. Bad look for the Cavs, so give a stock down to Donovan Mitchell. Let's hear Aaron Rodgers. I liked a lot of what I heard from Aaron Rodgers today, but this one I thought was the BS line. Go ahead.
I don't know if I need to really get into the specifics. I will say, people that know me, I'm fortunate to live in a beautiful house. The only downside is I have very limited cell service. So if you want to get a hold of me, I have to see your face. You got to FaceTime me. So the only response to the communication thing is there's, you know, records in your phone about who called you, when, FaceTime. And there wasn't any specific FaceTimes from any of those numbers that I was looking at. That's neither here nor there because we're in this position.
Come on. That's like the dog ate my homework. I like a lot of what Rodgers said today, but that was just complete and utter BS. Give a stock down to Aaron Rodgers.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell!
So Kawhi Leonard, when he wasn't playing in this series, had a knee sprain, and now it's a torn meniscus. A few years ago, he had knee soreness, and it ended up being a torn ACL. This just stinks, but now Kawhi Leonard once again has a devastating injury in the postseason. The Clipper season is over, but when will Kawhi Leonard return now? For next year, we don't know. Give a stock down to Kawhi Leonard. And finally, the Commanders did not pick up the fifth-year option on Chase Young. Remember how great Chase Young was supposed to be? I know injuries have derailed his career, but that's not an encouraging sign. Give a stock down to Chase Young. And that's the Zach Gelb Show, day one from Kansas City. We will be on the NFL draft coverage tomorrow starting at 6 p.m. Eastern right here on many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. Big thanks to Christian Gonzalez for joining us, Quinton Johnston, Jordan Addison, and Jackson Smith and Jigba. Good stuff at a Hot Take Hickey. Big thank you to Connor Green back in New York City. We will talk to you manana, everybody, from the draft. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Ah, weddings. The celebration of everything that makes a couple perfect for each other. You know, laughing at the same terrible puns. Smiley face brunch plates on weekends. Still finding each other attractive after a 3-hour hike. Well, you can find your perfect fit too at Indochino, even if you're not the one at the altar. They'll help you design the suit of your dreams. Fully customized and perfectly tailored. Choose every detail from lapels to linings and more. It's a bespoke experience without the premium price tag. In fact, suits start at just $499. My bad.
Shh.
Sorry. And made-to-measure shirts start at $89. Shop online and set up a measurement profile or book an appointment with an expert style guide at an Indochino showroom near you. Get matched with the suit that's perfect for you. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's 10% off $399 or more at Indochino.com. Code PODCAST.